primary election season. It's been fast-paced. It's been grimy. It's been gritty, right? In Montana here. It's nearing the end, June 2nd. Don't forget to vote. The Montana Republican Party has been very active in supporting their preferred candidates, right? And they've taken some criticism for the manner in which they have done that. There are presumably misleading political flyers and attack ads out there against members of its own party. Yes, it's caused a stir. Art Whitaker joins us here today. He's chair of the Montana Republican Party. We'll discuss the goals of the GOP this campaign season. Yes, this election campaign, this primary season, it's been full of a lot of controversy in Montana. Republicans, maybe not so much Republican versus Democrat. That's to come. But we've seen Republican versus Republican in this primary. It started as a disagreement over, you know, I suppose property taxes are one. That's a big one. Medicaid expansion. I remember the 2025 session as well. And then it's, you know, now we see party resolutions, campaign attack ads. It's hard, I think, for us to see all this and go, okay, who is telling me the truth about things? And that's one of the things I've lamented about today's social media. It's hard to get to the bottom of things. Art Whitaker joins us now. Art Whitaker is the chair of the Montana GOP. Would credit Art. Good morning, Art. You doing well, sir?
I'm doing great, Tom, and I will be working this weekend. So, you know, the primary is only a week and a half away. So we're those of us that are in the political world, these are the most important days. Things are great. Things are great.
And there's a lot of work to do. I know I've done that myself, as I mentioned, and I've said it several times here. I've worked for 10 years as a press guy for Congressman Rehberg then and also worked for this current governor, as I think you know as well. So just getting that out there. Let's go back, and I want you to tell your story. And that's one of the things we do here is just trying to make some space for people to tell their stories. We had three candidates who were on who were the target of some of these, and I feel they were misleading, Art, and I see that. I mean, there's a lot of political strategies and messaging avenues out there as well, and this one I'm not a big fan of. But you got to go back to that 2025 session, and you can go back even a little bit further when I think that, as you guys would express, you're seeing your conservative values kind of getting muddied up and washed, and then and it's hard to tell who is actually a Republican or who is somebody that's trying to get elected as a Republican because that's what happens in their district. So maybe go back to where this started and why you guys decided that, and you haven't done this in the past for the most part, you are endorsing specific candidates here in this primary.
Well, actually, we're not endorsing them, Tom. What we did is we issued an honor roll for people who are running who have supported the party and its platform. And it's actually pretty simple. I mean, our platform is straightforward. It's less taxes, less spending, less government, less regulation. And what we saw are a number of people and a growing number of people in the legislature. You know, I served for 6 years, 2010 to 2016, and there used to be a few people. And the frustration was they would go negotiate with Democrats to pass laws instead of negotiating with their caucus. And so when you have a situation where Democrats get up at the end of the session and say, this is the best session we've ever had, you have to scratch your head because Montanans voted in Republicans to be a majority in the legislature to the tune of 60%. So how can a 40% minority claim that it's the best session they've ever had? Well, it's because a few Republicans, instead of negotiating with their caucus, negotiated with the other side, and as a result, you had massive tax shifts. You know, they say that some people have received property tax benefits. I haven't talked to anybody who thinks that their taxes are correct. And so that was just one of many things. And so the frustration was building within the caucus. These people tried to take over leadership in the Montana Senate. They were termed the Nasty Nine. And I thought I was out of politics. I served 6 years in the legislature, 8 years on the Republican National Committee for Montana. But people called me up and they said, you know, there is a real problem. And people have to ask a fundamental question, Tom. Do they want a two-party system? Do they want one party to be able to come up with ideas, to debate the other party that has other ideas. And for the first time in the country, it's first time in Montana, but the first time in the country, you're seeing Democrat-aligned PACs, dark money PACs, paid for by Democrats, getting involved with Republican legislative primaries. You know, a few years ago, they got involved with some federal congressional races, and people were outraged. How dare you come into our primary and try to influence it? But now they're doing it in Montana's legislative primary, and I'm talking about millions of dollars. So when you know, we did not issue anything, Tom. The party didn't issue any information until we could verify it. There was a lot of speculation. But once that PAC reported to the state of Montana, which they're required to do, and you connected the dots with all of their companies that they formed, and you saw that it was being funded by Democrats, I said, we have to do something. We have to let people know. You know, people want the voters to decide, and I agree, but voters should also be informed. And so I don't know what these other third-party groups are doing. I know that there's right-leaning groups and there's left-leaning groups. Where I draw the line is if you're going to get involved with my party's primary, with the Republican primary, and you in the past have been a direct opponent of the party, and you have been critical of the party, and you have fought the Republican Party, if you want to select who our nominees are, then I think it has to be exposed. And in particular in Montana, Tom, you know, when we had our redistricting every 10 years, there are some districts in Montana that are very, very red. Like, it's almost impossible for a Democrat to get elected in that district. And the flip side, they redistricted it so that there are some districts that are very, very blue that a Republican could never get elected. So what we're seeing is if you want full representation for Montanans who live in very red districts, conservative districts, if they are being represented by people that are being funded by Democrats, they just lost their representation. They just lost their voice. They just lost their democracy. So I think that it's incumbent on the Republican Party to get this information out. We have not been, we have always based our statements on facts. And we gave all of these Republicans, there's now about 40 Republicans, 20 of them acted as the seed money to put this group together, and then they went out and sought Democrat donors, and then they're benefiting another 20 candidates. And we let every one of them, we gave them the opportunity to publicly renounce their association with this group. It's called Fireweed. We gave them a chance. And you know what? A couple of them said, you're right, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And we recognize that. But some of them, Tom, in fact, one of them told us to go to hell. And I hate to, you know, cuss on the air. Hopefully I don't get in trouble. But, you know, I mean, are you kidding me? You're going to say that to the Republican Party when we give you a chance to reject Democratic influence? So and just recently we found out that the SCI Union is having its members canvass through the Bitterroot Valley for three Republican legislative candidates. SEIU has never supported the Republican Party. So there is a real threat to our two-party system, and I feel that it's important that the party stand up.
Do you, and this is, I think, just a flat-out fair question, do you think the manner in which you're doing this? I've seen these campaign flyers, and I've been in the business a little while too, and I know the game there, right? And it is, for me, a departure from the pride that I have taken in the way Republicans try to run campaigns and elections in the past. And so I fear it's a step in the wrong direction, Art, that can lead to, you know, what I feel has been, you know, Democrats actually stealing elections. They'll go that far. How do you make sure it doesn't go that far? And so is the manner in which you're doing this square?
Well, I mean, Tom, there are a lot of flyers out there that I have nothing to do with. I don't know who these groups are. I don't know the flyer that you're talking about in particular, but ours, our resolutions have always been factual. They've always been based on the public reports. And what we've said is, if you're associating with a Democrat group, you either need to, and you're a Republican, you claim to be a Republican, you either need to renounce it or you need to own it. And all we've done is connected the dots. I don't think there's been any vicious language. If anything, Tom, I got to tell you, when I see some of these, they have their own groups, and I don't see a lot of stuff, but on Facebook occasionally, I mean, they're trying to assassinate my character. They're coming up with stuff in my background from 15 years ago. None of the stuff that I've seen as it relates to these candidates is character assassination. It's simply, what have your votes been? Who do you want to associate with? If you're going to act as seed money for a Democrat front group and then go solicit Democrat donors, you need to explain why you're doing that and also still being a Republican, especially in these very conservative districts. You know, many, many rural districts in Montana are very conservative. And I think those voters need to be represented fairly like everybody else, and they need to be informed. So, I mean, I'm not going to defend every flyer, Tom, because I haven't seen it, but I've seen the party's communications, and I think it's been pretty factual.
Well, I think there have been character assassinations specifically, and that's just a political strategy, unfortunately, and it works. I'm going to disagree with this, in that regard. But I know you guys had to do something, right? So I appreciate that. And whether it's the right thing, you know, I suppose that's yet to be known. We're still in a transition here in my mind, and I'm going to get launched into something here that I don't have time for at the moment. So I'll take a break and come on back. But, I want to talk about the opportunity here that there are more people understanding conservative values and thinking we see consequences of these dramatic far left liberal policies taking place, and a lot of people are pushing back on it. Art Wittig, chair of the Montana Republican Party, a former state legislator as well, involved in Montana politics and conservative Montana politics for some time. Art, I kind of want to open it up here to just this thought, and it's kind of my take, and in terms of what's going on here. I think there was an opportunity with Trump being elected, 77 million voters. There were millions of those people who were orphan voters, right? The Democratic Party, massive shift to the left. I could talk about the issues, transgender surgery for kids, drag queen grooming in our public libraries on the social side of things, but on the cultural as well, 20 million illegal aliens in here, cutting veterans benefits so the party can pay for that. I think a lot, and then soft on crime. I think there's a lot of people out there who are recognizing there's consequences to far left policies. And so I thought there was a chance to bring some people into this Republican fold or whatever you want to call it, and then maybe take some time to educate them further about conservative politics. What's your take on this opportunity with President Trump in the office and more people who are possibly left of center voting for conservative politics?
Well, I think, Tom, this is a good segue to your next guest. Kurt is running for the Senate. The insiders in Montana, the Democrat Party insiders, they were on record as saying that their own party, the Democrat Party, is toxic. They used the word poison. And so what did they do? They went out and they found a phony Democrat, called him an independent, Seth Bodner. They're trying to run him as an independent. They're talking to their party and say, please don't run somebody in the Democrat Party. So this is just a two-way race between Seth and Kurt. And there are longtime Democrat Party people who say, no, we have a party. But that party is losing ground because they keep embracing terrible policies. So these party insiders, they're working with their own activists, right? Their own progressive activists. but they also want to govern. So what do? They're inventing phony independent candidates, and Montana is just one of three states you're seeing that in. And they're also getting involved with these legislative races, these legislative primaries. So in a state that's a red state like Montana, they know that they'll never be able to elect a Democrat majority legislature. So what are they doing? They're trying to come into our party, weaken our party so that their policies are advanced and they can govern under their policies. You mentioned them all: transgenderism, open borders, more welfare, more spending, higher taxes. This property tax thing, Tom, this is the first time in the country. Montana is the first state to have now progressive property taxation. It used to be that property tax was flat. You may have a house worth twice as much as your neighbor, but you would all pay the same percentage on your value, and then that was your property tax. Well, this last bill, while they may have trimmed some of the property tax on the lower value homes, they shifted all of that money to increase taxes on higher value homes. It made it progressive, okay? And why is that important for Democrats? Because it creates a whole new opportunity for class warfare. And they can talk about taxing the rich. And if they want to spend more money, they just say, oh, we're just going to tax the rich. So anybody who has a second home, anybody who has a vacation home, anybody who has invested in a duplex or a commercial property, they're going to get smacked. And it's going to get worse and worse because that's the Democrat playbook. It's class warfare. So to your point, can the Republicans attract more people? Yes, we can. President Trump showed the way. Common sense policies, efficient government, cutting fraud. You know, when I was in the legislature, we talked about fraud in the welfare programs and the Medicaid. And people said, fraud? What fraud? There is no fraud. Well, of course there's fraud, because when you have millions and hundreds of millions of dollars at stake, there's always going to be bad actors and they're going to act fraudulent. So I think the Republican Party, it's people are coming to our party because they see it's common sense, but they're also leaving the Democrat Party because it is becoming so extreme. And when these Democrat insiders see what's happening, this is how they're reacting to it. And it's not just Montana.
But it's not just
the U.S. Senate stuff.
It's not just Democratic insiders. There are solid Republicans and people who are on your honor roll who are lamenting this war that's going on. And they're doing it publicly here as well. And I know that, and I want to move on to party unity here, because what's the Republican Party going to look like for this next session or in 5 years? And how does fracturing, within the party lead to more party unity?
Well, I mean, we're not fracturing it. It's already fractured. We're going to have a platform convention on June 12th. And all the people who were nominated on June 2nd are going to come with all of our other county party activists. And we're going to look at our platform. And if we want to make changes, we do it every 2 years. If they want to make changes, if they want to weaken it, if they want to strengthen it, okay. But there's always disagreement in every party. We didn't cause the disagreement. All we're doing is exposing it. But I will tell you, Tom, my message on June 12th at the platform convention is the primary's over. I want the winners to be gracious in their victory, and I want the people who didn't win to still be involved and help the party win in the general, especially the swing districts. Right. So there are, just like there's heavy red districts that it would be hard for a Democrat to win in, there are plenty of swing districts in Montana. We need to win those. We need to win the majority in the legislature. We need to come together. People need to forgive each other. You know, politics is rough and tumble. It's always been rough and tumble.
Yeah, I know.
So all you have to do is look at history, and you could go back to Abraham Lincoln, how rough and tumble it was, right? When he was running for president at his convention. So it's always been rough and tumble.
But you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror afterwards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the ways you do that is if you're honest throughout, and you are honest throughout, then there's it's quite easy. On June 3rd to shake hands with your opponent. Now, if you weren't honest, then that may cause some, you know, some long-term bad feelings. But we need to get over that. We're going to have a general election. Kurt Almy needs to win the U.S. Senate. He has a race in front of him. It looks like a three-way race.
Have you chatted with him at all?
An open seat. Yeah, I think he's a great guy, and he's doing what he needs to do. He's introducing himself to Montanans. You know, he's known by many people, but he needs to introduce himself to Montanans and Republicans, and I think he's working hard to do that.
Chris is listening in Columbia Falls, and I don't know that I have a ton of time, Chris. I know you want to ask a question about the budget and accountability. So, Chris, you're on the air real quickly here with Art Wittig. Time's running out.
Yeah, but that's what the problem is. You know, nobody wants to listen. When you outgo exceed your income, your upkeep's your downfall. 1991. And they passed the Budget and Empowerment Control Act to stop the chief executive, the president of the United States at that time, from stopping ridiculous spending and budgets. So, I mean, you know, if you don't go back and restructure that whole system, you're not going to be able to do anything.
All right, Chris. I appreciate that. I know that last time you didn't get a chance to get on. I wanted to get you on here, but it's taking us some off of our main topic here, and I only have 1 minute left now. And Art, so what does this party look like? How does this come to a resolution?
Oh, I think it'll be resolved here in June, and you know, both factions are going to win some. They're going to lose some.
Will they show up to the party convention? Will those people that you have opposed show up? Well, they weren't welcome. You know, many of them weren't welcome last time.
Oh, no. They were all welcome in June. The only people who were disinvited were the 9 senators who tried to take over the Senate leadership at the beginning of the last legislative session. So, and they were called the Nasty 9. And they were not allowed, because they were rebuked, they were not allowed to vote at the state convention, but those are the only people.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I know that it's taxing, and there's a lot of work involved. Art Wittig, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Tom. Let's keep talking.
Yep, Art Wittig, chair of the Montana GOP.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.